This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers, folks. I am Brent DeHart, and Dave Bourne is on his way back from being on location with Rocks in Your Head out in Silverton. Hey, welcome, everybody. It's Thursday. It's a fantastic day to be living in the Mid-Willamette Valley, as is always. Despite the weather of the winter, it's always a fabulous day here. Hey, some things in the news we're going to talk about. This is the place where you tune in for your lunch hour, if you're taking one, and get to know local topics, local ideas, initiatives, individuals, and ideas. We're going to have a couple of special guests later in the hour. Of course, we're going to bring in Cowboy Ron and Sergeant Mike at the bottom of the hour, give their take on the world. And before we're done, we're going to be talking about a special event. Again, we're going to get some warbirds back at the Salem Airport coming up. So warbirds over the West, we'll be talking with our guests before the hour is up, which leaves you folks to me and what I think and what I have to say. So thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. And hopefully you enjoy it. A couple things top of the news we thought we'd weigh in, and if you want to weigh in, you'll have to call in the top of the hour if you would, 503-393-1430. Just a couple thoughts on the dress code for the school district. So that has changed, and they're loosening it up a bit. They're making it so it's less discretionary, obviously, for some of the administrators and the teachers trying to create situations or fewer situations where a student is embarrassed by the enforcement action and things like that. I don't know. I got mixed feelings. I try not to be, you know, that guy. I try not to be, you know, the old fuddy-duddy and I knew when and what are these people thinking and that's not clothes and have standards of a previous generation try to apply. I try not to be the grumpy old guy, right? However, we are a little bit loose in America, are we not, in terms of what people wear in public? And when it comes to school, there is a valid argument about having a guidance, having some respectful clothing, not just for yourself, the people around you. I'm not a big fan. This is very old-fashioned, but I'm not a big fan of any man wearing a hat indoors. I go into a restaurant or any other building, really, and I see people walking around in hats. I find it disrespectful. I don't know, guys. What do you think? What do you think, Hunter? Do you find that that's just bygone ways, or is it still respectful for a man to take a hat off?
I think it's more respectful for a man to take a hat off, and especially now it's gone so far beyond just wearing a hat. There's messages behind hats. There's ways of wearing it that are, you know, challenging, and that's, I think, where a lot of that comes from, especially at the school level, is you don't want that kind of clique gang affiliation being shown through the style or the wearing of a hat or a hood or those kinds of things.
Yeah, and they're still going to ban, of course, gang insignia and profanity and pornography, as if it needed to be said. One of these quotes in the Salem Reporter article quoted a student saying that it gets embarrassing if they get dress coded, meaning they get pulled aside and want them to modify how they're wearing. And the quote is, "When a student gets dress coded, it makes them feel ashamed, hurt, small, not relevant, ugly, not loved, and embarrassed." Could we find that young lady? I'd like to find that young lady a mentor. Because when someone takes you aside and says, "Young lady, I think that the manner of dress, you know, another manner of dress would provide you with more respect and less negative attention or things like that," they're not pulling them aside because they don't love them. The staff, I'm going to stand behind staff here. They're pulling them aside because they do love that young lady. And they don't want her to be embarrassed. They don't find her ugly. They certainly don't find her not relevant. Are you kidding? If they were not relevant, then they wouldn't bother talking to the young lady. And face it, folks, we have a lot of people who at home, they're not getting the guidance they should have, right? We all know the stereotypical dad, and like, "You're not leaving the house wearing that," right? And all the comedies we've seen where seeing girls leave the house and then instantly change their school uniform so it looks like something else. But boy, I'd sure love to give some honest, loving mentorship to that young lady and just say, hey, we want you to be more respectful towards yourself and to others, and let's set a standard, and you're important to us, or they wouldn't be setting her aside, right? Anyway, there's only one student perception there, which is somewhat unfair, but so they had previously had guidelines. They were pretty broad, so it was left up to different schools and administrators and teachers, and I can't say that it was always handled well or that a student was never embarrassed, but again, I tend to put it in the hands of the adults who are there because they love kids, right? So I'd like to give the benefit of the doubt for well-meaning teachers and administrators in the district. And there were prohibited items, like hats, ripped jeans, yoga pants, and things like that, that they had a discretion over and what they enforced and what degree of questionable clothing that they would draw the line on. So here's the new guideline. Ready, folks? The new guideline is: clothes must be worn in such a way that genitals, buttocks, breasts, and nipples are fully covered with opaque fabric. I'm sorry, but isn't that... Can you believe we even have to have a policy on that? I remember, I'll give you a funny story, folks. So I was in Baskin-Robbins having some ice cream with my children, and they were probably sub 10 at the time. And this was about the time that really, really baggy jeans was very popular. You started to see men's underwear all the time and things like that. Gentleman's a young high school kid, looked like he was a basketball player probably. He's in line in front of us, but he's right next to us, and we're sitting at a table in a public place, and he bends over to tie his high tops, and his seam of his shorts goes down below, sorry to say this delicately, below the curvature of his rump, folks. So I'm basically turning and going face to face with tidy whities. And for the rest of my life, I will always regret not calling 911 and saying, there's a man exposing himself to my children in a public place. You know, you didn't want to be that guy. You don't want to, you know, always want to, it's what, like, what would you do episode on the news. But I just think it's somebody who drops their drawers in front of children in a public place, that's obscenity. Am I the old guy, and I'm way behind the times. And I mean, it's different than the top of your underwear sticking up above your jeans. That's totally different than somebody who's fully exposed, right? Anyway, so now we have to tell people, by the way, don't show your nipples in school. We have to tell people you shouldn't expose your genitals in school. They are now going to accept hats and some ripped jeans, as long as the rips don't expose underwear or buttocks. So, anyway, there is a new dress code. I think there's something to be said for uniforms. I think there's studies that say even single-sex schools actually perform better than schools with that are co-ed. But we're not going to go to that. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a quick break. I went on longer on that than I thought I would. if you have anything to say about it, 503-393-1430. Otherwise, we'll talk about some other topics in the news before we get to our special guests. I'm Brent DeHart, and we're waiting for Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart, and I just want to weigh in a little bit of kudos to the Secretary of State and their division in the spirit of the late Dennis Richardson continuing with their audits and looking after the taxpayer dollar, folks. So I applaud what they're doing, and what might ruffle some feathers is an article in Statesman Journal about these two agencies, Department of Administrative Services, and basically if there's something to administer for the state, this massive agency does it, and the Secretary of State's office. So I didn't see anything that was earth-shattering in the report, but it's important to note, and it's important for us to pay attention, that the Secretary of State's office is still going through with audits of departments and trying to find opportunities to save the taxpayer dollar, opportunities to reduce wasteful spending, opportunities for efficiencies, and so forth. So they released a report that found potentially wasteful spending of tax dollars, shortcomings, and this again from the Statesman Journal, shortcomings in the state's transparency website, and the failure of a new $21 million system to identify double-filled positions in the state's workforce. Wow, I like it. I mean, that's like, we always talk about redundancies. A lot of time it is talks about, is the city trying to do something that the county already does? Is the county doing something that the state or the feds already does? Are there nonprofits in town that are both raising money towards the same goal instead of having one entity and they combine forces and have fewer administrative costs? So it's nice to see the Secretary of State is doing this, double-filled positions in the state's workforce. I remember when I had a small store with a very, very small food offering, and there were two completely separate agencies that did the exact same inspection. One was a county one, and one was a state one. And they drew an artificial line about who was going to handle what, but they're both doing food establishment inspections with the same checklist, and they have administrations and rules, and da-da-da. It's duplication. It's duplication, so we're looking for efficiencies in our workforce, right? All right, so not everything was embraced by Department of Administrative Services. They pushed back a little bit. Our quote from Liz Craig was, our audit response stands on its own. She said agency officials, they look forward to working with the Secretary of State and putting agreed-upon recommendations in place. And this is one of the things you hear anecdotes about, and it would be really nice to have more whistleblowers in case we have any state worker newsmaker listeners right now. But and the concern is, as all the anecdotal stories about people spending their budget just before they end their fiscal year, because they're afraid that they'll not get the same amount of money next year if they don't spend it and show that it was needed. So there's a bunch more discretionary spending of our dollars, us as taxpayers, at the end of the two-year budget cycle as they're trying to spend out the rest of their budget so their next allocation is just as big. I imagine, you know, for an agency head, that's a very, very tough position to be in. They really don't want their agency to shrink. And I don't know that I've ever seen that a governor rewards an agency head for lowering expenses or for not spending money. Have we ever created a feedback system where people are rewarded for saving the taxpayer dollar? It's like, oh, thank you for not spending these extra $50,000. How can we help you do it again? Or can you teach others? Or can we honor you or recognize you in some way? So some agency budget directors told auditors that they're concerned that high amounts of unspent funding, they didn't spend the last money, right, would lead to budget cuts. And that's the concern. I mean, it's just, it is exactly what we're afraid that it is. The other concern from the Secretary of State's audit is that they'll make these decisions in a hurry because it's the end of the cycle and, oh my gosh, we have to spend it. And when they do it in a hurry, then they may not be necessarily getting the best deal for the taxpayer dollar. So that makes perfect sense. You're going to maybe less time to shop around, maybe less time to get competing bids. But so we're not spending it in the most efficient in the most responsible fashion because they're spending it in a hurry at the end of the budget cycle. Anyway, Secretary of State, you go, people. Like it. DAS, thank you for your cooperation and collaboration. Do everything you can. You spend a lot of the state's money. It is your job. And so you have a monumental role in efficiency in government. So Department of Administrative Services, thank you for any cooperation you can give and being good stewards of the public dollar. And if you're not, hey, folks, let's bring it to light and let's find a way through our leadership to recognize people's efforts to save the taxpayer dollar and put it to better use. Put it to better use. Maybe there's a department, maybe there's another initiative in your department you can launch because you saved money this year and you didn't spend it on things you really do not need right now. Does that make sense? No. Oh, okay, so it can't happen now. Does it make sense? All right, what else in the news today? I would just have a few minutes to talk about this, but there's an article about how the enterprise zones and the opportunity zones are favoring areas that are not the Lancaster corridor. I took a little bit of exception with the title, with the headline. There's a lot of headlines that have issues, but basically saying, well, these other areas of the town are getting these incentives and opportunities at Lancaster's expense. Gosh, do we always have to have a winner and loser? Do we always have to say, because, well, somebody got something that I didn't, and therefore we're helping pay for it, right? It's not at their expense. At this time, where they have incentives for development and redevelopment, Southeast Salem, downtown corridor, so forth, it's not in the Lancaster corridor. There's a couple things about the Lancaster corridor, and it's a decent article, but let's be cognizant, folks. Not all of the Lancaster corridor is in the city of Salem, right? And all of the Lancaster corridor is fully built out. We just saw redevelopment at the Lancaster Town Center. What do they call that now? The Town Center. Well, Willamette Town Center. It used to be Lancaster Mall. So these federal opportunity zone, we've talked about at Newsmakers in the past, and this is a great opportunity. It's being utilized in a couple of places downtown where an investor gets an opportunity to save some in capital gains if they'll redevelop or develop and invest in an area that is deemed to need new reinvestment, and they hold on to it for 10 years, so they're not just flipping something, and then subsequently sell that, they get a break on the taxes. This is coming out of the Trump tax initiatives. In addition to that, of course, there's economic opportunity zones for economic development purposes and so forth. And sometimes these overlap. But here's, come on, Lancaster, let's just get real. Let's say it how it is, folks, is that there's not a lot of places to develop along Lancaster Drive. I don't know if you've driven it recently, but I don't like to drive Lancaster Drive because it's so built out that the traffic is tough. Traffic can be brutal over there. So it's not like there's industrial land. A lot of these opportunity zones and tax leverage zones, a lot of it is about job creation, and some of it's about renewal, and some of it's about increased basis of property taxes. So when you take a dilapidated property and you turn it into something shiny and new, the underlying agencies are going to get higher tax revenue out of it. And so higher tax revenue means there's more services for the rest of us. And we all know from talking to the mayor that that those services are struggling to fund everything. But anyway, folks, so be a little jaundiced. Just always be a little bit more aware than the next guy in terms of when they put these out here and how it is worded as far as who's getting what zones. And there's a picture of the parkfront building. And we've applauded the addition of the parkfront building downtown. And that kind of investment in the downtown core is exactly what spurs more investment in the downtown core. Now, are we going to see one of those in Lancaster? Is that our central business district? No, but it is a major, major commerce and retail commercial sector. I don't know if we're going to see central business district construction there at all, and we're certainly not going to see industrial production at all. And if it comes to the city of Salem, that, you know, Google if you haven't seen the city limits lines, it is not a straight line up in Lancaster. Some of that, even on the west side of Lancaster, some of it's in the county. It's not even the city limits. So you go to Willamette Town Center, it's in the county. I mean, I'm sorry, it's in the city. They pay city taxes. They get city police and fire. You go literally across the street to the south to Target, and everything that's in the Target Center, none of that is in the city limits, folks. That's how wonky it is out there. And we went through this, and it probably should have been part of the discussion when they were talking about a gasoline tax for the city. It's because half those gas stations along Lancaster Drive, I actually used to have a chart when we starred which ones were in the city limits, which were not. So if you have a city gasoline tax, some of them along the same street, along the same mile, would be subject to this consumer tax, and some would not. And as we all know by consumer spending, a couple cents a gallon, that is enormous disadvantage to a small business. A couple cents a gallon times a couple hundred thousand gallons, and the guy across the street doesn't have to pay it. So that is a concern. Anyway, I'm a big fan. I know even some other fellow fiscal conservatives are not big fans of these tools, but I think sometimes you incentivize and you you create an opportunity for a bigger and better as we move forward. And unfortunately, a lot of times that has to intersect with the city or the state or the feds. And anyway, just be careful when you watch these and you have any questions on it. You know where to find out what the real skinny is. It's here on Newsmakers. I want to welcome Dave Bourne back in the studio. He's been out on location just in time to hear Cowboy Ron.
Right. Right? And Sergeant
just
Mike.
Just to sit here and get the take. Hey, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to invite in Sergeant Mike, you're all familiar with, and Cowboy Ron on their takes of the happenings. You think they're going to talk about the debate?
Maybe.
There are happenings in the world. All right, stick with us. This is Brent DeHart for Dave Bourne on Newsmakers, 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape. Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart, and welcome to the bottom of the hour. I'm, as promised in the previous segment, we're going to give up some of my elucidations and all my knowledge and wisdom here and have a couple gentlemen tell me, who are my senior, how things really ought to be and how things run in the world, right?
Well, thank you. They're
going to illuminate their ways of saving the world. So we've got Cowboy Ron.
Cowboy Ron, thanks,
welcome,
Brad.
Welcome. Sergeant Mike.
Yep, thank you very much.
Good to have you. So you got, we were talking before the air, you're looking for an old friend and you find him on TV?
Yeah, I've been looking for Vance Day. He was a friend of the station. We've had him on several times over the years. And then when he got hammered here at, you know, by the state, he disappeared. I couldn't find him. His old law firm didn't want to talk about it and so on and so forth. I was watching TV last week on a national program, and it looked like Vance Day was sitting on there. And I went, can it be? He was being interviewed. And so the scroll at the bottom, I rewound it, and it came back. It was him. He's the president of Promise Keepers now, a national organization that asks men to be good husbands, you know, and fathers. And I went, wow. And then I did a little more research, and he had to walk away from his 40-acre spread to pay all of his
legal fees,
$1.2 million. And I don't know if he got that much, but that's what he had to walk away from. And they've lived in a trailer for a couple of 3 years. And a camp trailer. Like a fifth wheel.
You think he was a victim of a witch hunt?
He was absolutely a victim of a witch hunt.
Somehow I thought you were going to say that.
Yeah, I think they nailed him.
They nailed him, and you nailed me. But I just think I've made another communication with him now. We're going to get him. We'll have him call us here one day, call you guys.
That would be great. And it's nice that he landed on his feet. And Promise Keepers, if you're not familiar, yeah, it is. You know, there's nothing untoward about it. It's asking men to step up and keep the promises that they've made to their family, to the Lord, and all this. And
yeah.
And to be stand-up men in America. So, so he's the president of the national, huh?
Oh, Brennan, it says something for the lady. I mean, here she is moving off of a great place, follows him, stays with him, is in a mobile unit, a travel trailer or a camper. I mean, there's some connection there with those two.
That's a marriage.
Yes, marriage. Well, that's the greatest thing about the long-lasting marriages, isn't it, gentlemen?
Yes.
Is you kind of go through the poo-poo in life. Every now and then, you get the ups and downs, and when you get to the other side, you're like, hey, this is a person that rode with me, right?
That's the thing we call depth, if you have depth. And we all go through different times, but I think this couple hung together.
So Vance Day lost his position as a judge. Is that correct?
Correct. And now he's they're voting to whether or not they can pull his legal his right to be an attorney for good, for life.
That's still going on.
The next step. They don't want to stop. I mean, it's, yeah.
Well, the nerve of him to have any conservative values and sit on the bench.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I am so glad that we have this show where we can butt in once a week and just point these things out and not have to worry about what anybody says. And, you know, on the street, in the grocery stores, in cafes, wherever we're at, church, people go, I heard you last week, and I don't know that I remember what I said, but they did. And we were out at the Marion County Fair a couple of weeks ago, and people just kept coming up saying, which one are you? And was I, you know, you or you? And we talked about it, and now we're going over to Polk County Fair in a week, and it'll be the same thing. People love to hear living the right way. And so I appreciate all you guys do all the time and giving us a few minutes to, you know, and this guy here with his loggers, he's got his loggers suspenders on today.
This is to hold my cowboy's pants up.
That's it.
I see. What's on your mind, Cowboy Ron? What's going on in the world that's got you fired up?
Well, Mr. Wyden's got me just torqued. You know, he... Senator Wyden, I mean, what can I say? He's just a waste. He's been in term a long time. I think we should have term limits.
Where's he at right now? You said he was down. He wasn't in Oregon. He was.
Oh, we saw him on the news. He went down to the border to help my boy Trump out.
Yeah.
And I think they had him on there with some. Woman that was pregnant, and he said he was giving her a hand and helping out. I would just suggest that he stay home and do his job and let Mr. Trump take care of the border.
Well, don't you want him to know? I mean, I'll play devil's advocate for you, old cowboy, but don't you want him to know, rather than relying on the talking points of the Democrats and back in Washington, D.C., go check it out themselves?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there an election coming up? Is he up for because he seems to find some reason to get into the news every time this election cycle.
Well, I think that party, is more concerned about keeping the party going than they are in representing us, which is quite evident. This is really evident, and people need to know and to be aware that we are not being represented properly, and where the legislature, their job is to bring the laws that are coming forth and review them, make the laws, and it's up to Mr. Trump and his boys to enforce them. And then after that, the judicial takes care of any hang-ups, okay, which works pretty good. It's our check and balance. But here's the deal.
What's the deal?
The deal is they're not doing their job. We need to go back and one of the jobs in private business that we do, where we have a business plan, and we'll run with that business plan for maybe a few months or a year. In a retail situation, you change quickly. And God help me, I'm not in that business now to speak of where I like Macy's and Penny's and Ward's. Okay. Now, what we need to do with these laws that are in effect, they need to be reviewed, and then we need to modify them, amend them, so to the commerce of the United States.
There you go. Hey, I don't want to throw you a curveball or anything, but can I throw you a curveball?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
a totally different topic. I was talking about it earlier in the show, and I just got to get. I think this is going to be quite entertaining. But
don't be too hard on us.
What do you guys think of the dress code in the school district?
That was our number three topic.
Is it?
That was number three.
You realize they got to wear clothes now that will cover their nipples. It said that.
Yeah,
we read it.
We just read it a little bit ago,
and they cannot show their buttocks. Either.
Yeah, and their ripped jeans can't show their buttocks.
That's right.
Right?
But they can wear them.
But they can be ripped.
Yeah.
Okay, so where this came down from is the Equal Rights Movement and having deterrence to tell somebody what to wear and what they can do at school. And I feel sorry for the Salem School Board because their hands are tied. Their hands are tied. And I don't know if I agree that by changing that dress code and kind of making it liberal as it is, that was we just read, short shorts, have the nipples covered, have your chest covered, have your armpits basically covered.
Yeah.
But I remember, Brent, when I started in the middle school and senior high, I was interested in the ladies. And the ladies were interested in me. And that's when the human body creates a thing called the hormones, and they start moving pretty wildly. What do you think a teacher is going to do to get Johnny's attention in a math class? I ask you.
When Mary's sitting over there looking good.
Yeah, that'd be hard.
So what would you do?
I'd cover up Mary, right?
That's yeah.
Right. I don't know. So if you're the superintendent, if you guys are the superintendent and the school board both, what is your dress code?
We just talked about that. A pair of Levi's, a pair of pants, whatever, that's not torn, and a shirt. That's real easy. And girls, keep everything covered. And
belly buttons?
Everything.
Oh, I would think so.
I mean,
yeah, I would
you can wear burkas now, by the way, in there, so our Muslim friends can go.
But Sergeant, this is one thing that we have to tell the Salem School Board, is that Salem Academy, the charter schools, and the Catholic schools are getting busier.
Yes, they are.
Because the daughter and the boy says, you know, we're turning into a freshman year, looks pretty bad, and this is an issue that comes up. It looks pretty bad here in Salem Public Schools and what these kids are doing. We're going to go to where we can get some control over our child and good deterrence and good discipline.
We ran a series of commercials 3 or 4 months ago. It was in the spring when they were trying to talk to parents about next year, and they were it was from the Catholic Schools Association, and the ads just simply stated, "Hey, we've got good schools, and there's, you know, we have rules. You got to keep them, dress code, and you got to do your homework, and you got to keep your mouth shut when you're in class."
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people learned more in that same hour of instruction than they do when there's a bunch of distractions.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, totally. We have all the disruption now in our classrooms that are just, it's just ludicrous what's happening. But carry on.
No, I'm going to try to figure out if we should run you guys for school board, see, or send you down there and design the new dress code. And would you put them in uniforms?
Sure.
Something to be said for public school uniforms?
Could. You know, I wore uniforms I went to Catholic school through the 7th grade. Wore khaki pants and a white shirt.
Dave Bourne is weighing in. Yeah. The same.
And
Same.
It was easy. I mean, that's what you didn't have to think about that stuff.
Levi's, T-shirt, skirts at the knees.
In high school, that's what I wore was Levi's.
So didn't that rob you of your individuality? Didn't that rob you of your ability to creatively express yourself?
Oh, not at all.
You still, I know, I bet not. You got that lean and hungry look about you. If you're going back and remembering when you were 16. And
boy, I tell you what, forget that one. Yeah.
I'm still stuck on the thought that the ladies were interested in you, Cowboy Ron.
They were.
Are you stretching a tail there?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bragging a little.
Yeah. Not much documentation. Can you document that? Or?
Yeah. But anyway, I know we're running out of time, but the thing is that the law is in favor of the kids and our youth and people and our attorneys. The attorneys do a good job of suing. Somebody's got a lot of money and says, you can't tell Sally how to dress. Mm. And away we go.
Do you think some of this has to do with how society has gone and there's less influence and involvement from parents, especially, unfortunately, in many cases, the dad?
I do. And the busyness of life and our effort to keep up with the Joneses or the latest technology or my job is bigger. I make millions of dollars now. I don't, but I mean, that is something that people, they're all competing for that. I'm not saying it's wrong to compete. I love to compete. But there can be a time when it's too much, when everything else is not important and that's the only thing. Those kind of things are happening.
Well, I just think it's an evolution of our society that we've gone from here to here. And we're on a route. If we can slow it down a little bit or have more controls.
For those of you tuning in with your radios and didn't see that, Cowboy Run thinks we're way up high as far as our standards. We've gone way down low.
Yeah,
I saw it, but I wasn't sure if you listeners saw that.
Oh, they better.
All right, we got to sign off. Cowboy thanks. Ron, thanks for giving us your viewpoint on the world.
And thank you. You
Sergeant
want my suspenders?
I'll need them someday.
Okay, all right.
I'll need them.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brent DeHart. Thanks to Sergeant Mike and Cowboy Ron for their take on the world. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about warbirds over the West and the B-17 Alliance happening down at the airport. Stay with us. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
I know Hunter did it earlier, but I want to do it again.
Do it again.
Because I feel left out today almost. This segment of Newsmakers brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. We have Jason Scott in the studio with us. Jason has
the
got
big
a long,
man.
Yeah, he's the man. And his grandfather actually was the man who bought a B-17 aircraft, saved it, utilized it for personal business, and then later in more recent years, they've transitioned into a foundation and a museum, and they're restoring a B-17 bomber in Salem.
Nice.
At McNary Field in Salem. If you haven't gone through and seen the museum and seen the progress, please do. There's an event coming up. Welcome to the studio, by the way, Jason.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you again. What an undertaking. You guys have been at this how many years since you decided, hey, we're going to take this down and we're going to start restoring
it? Well, we officially came to Salem here in 2015. It started a little bit earlier than that because we had to make all the preparations to get the plane down off of the former gas station site in Milwaukee.
Right.
So it was quite a journey getting it down here.
So your grandfather bought the plane. And we've had your wife, Terry Scott, on the show before to spotlight this. But it's a good reminder for people that might have missed it. And the event Warbirds Over the West is coming up next weekend. It'll be another opportunity to do something fun with the family and see these amazing aircraft. But let's talk a little bit about the B-17 Alliance to begin with. So what progress are you guys making? What are you working on right now?
Well, right now we've got a whole bunch of different avenues that we're going down. We're really focusing on Wing 1 and our Bombardier Navigator section being connected to the cockpit right now. And we're just getting ready to start the cockpit. So we've had a lot of pickup work that we were trying to get done in preparation for that. We've created a massive steel structure that's a rotisserie so that we can actually flip the wing 360 degrees so that it's easier for us to work on, and that's nearing completion. And we have a new crew that's just starting up to start on the aft fuselage section of the plane. So we've been busy as beavers.
Wow, that is a lot to be working on. I know that it's been a while since I've been inside the museum. The whole cone section, the front nose section had been done, and we're talking about every new skin panel and all new rivets. It was spectacular.
Yeah,
it just takes your breath away. So now you're getting a place where the Bombardier section, you're going to attach to that?
Yeah, we're attaching the cockpit to it right now so that we can keep the shape of everything and make sure that everything's straight and true.
Wow.
So it's a big project, and when that's all connected right now, so we'll be working on the area of just as we speak. There's guys out there at the hangar working today like crazy.
So is the long-term plan to complete this in Salem, and how are you going to find enough space?
Yeah, well, we're hoping to continue to stay here in Salem. I mean, there's no reason for us to leave. Salem has been extremely welcoming to us, and every time we looked for an excuse not to come here in the first place, the doors just kept opening one after another, and there was no reason not to come here.
How many B-17s exist in the world that are flyable?
Well, basically right now there's about 12 that are capable in the world, and of that 12, 5 or 6 that are flown with any regularity at all.
Wow.
Intent of the B-17 Alliance here in Salem is to make sure this thing flies again, right?
Yes, that is the emphasis. We want to have another one of the airworthy planes.
I can't believe how monumental this is, really, to be happening right here in the Mid-Valley. I mean, it's not like we're a center of a World War II site where you have a museum or the National Museum, Air Force Museum, what is that, in Indiana, Ohio, or the Naval Air Museum in Pensacola. And this thing is happening right here. People can help, right? There's a website.
Right. We do have a website. It's b17alliance.com. And
no dashes, just
b17alliance.com. And we're also on Facebook too, so you can see a lot more of the day-to-day activities and the events and things like that too.
How's the fundraising going? Is that an ongoing effort?
Yeah, it's an ongoing effort. I mean, I wish I could say we had every penny known to mankind, but it's just going to be one of those things. We just have to slug it out. But we have been doing quite well. We've increased year over year steadily since we've come to Salem.
I know for the Greatest Generation, as they leave us, it'd be nice in their honor to support something like that and keep alive some of these things that happened in World War II. All right, let's talk about, speaking of old aircraft, 2019 Warbirds Over the West. We saw some, the Collins Foundation was here a month or two ago and gave some rides in some of these aircraft. And now we have a bunch of other aircraft coming to the airport, not this weekend, but the following weekend.
The following weekend, yeah, August 10th and 11th.
I noticed on your list, of course, there's an F-2 Wildcat. And
yep.
If you're not familiar, folks, if you're not kind of an aviation nut, the F-2, there was the Wildcat, and ultimately the whole list of Tomcats, the Hellcat and so forth, ended up with the Tomcat,
right?
Tom Cruise.
And the Tiger Cat was the final one. Yeah,
Tiger Cat and so forth. What really caught my eye also is this old trainer. You have a L-4 Grasshopper. Folks, L-4 Grasshopper is a little lightweight plane, and it was used as training and multiple other uses as well. My best friend, Terry, has an L-2,
okay.
An award-winning L-2. So I'm pretty familiar with that aircraft, and it's kind of – they're old, folks. We're talking about the 40s.
Yes.
And the 40s seem to get more and more distant from us.
Yeah,
so people come out the airport and see these. Can they ride in any of them?
Actually, there is going to be an opportunity on Friday and on Saturday. That's the PBY-5 Catalina. It's one of only two in the world that's certified to still land on water. Is going to be coming in. It's a new purchase here in the Eugene area. They're flying up for the event. They'll be on display, but they will be offering rides on Friday afternoon and Saturday afternoon. And I forget what it is, $350 a hop ride. But it's well worth it because this is one of very few in the whole world that are functioning at this level.
And that's one that doesn't get a ton of press, like a Mustang or, B-17 kind of thing. But their stories are amazing.
Yeah.
How they use these aircrafts.
Oh, gosh, yeah. In fact, this one actually has combat history and I believe sunk a German U-boat. So that's even better. This plane was purchased over in Europe and brought in. So that's going to be here. And we have Ericsson Collections, FM2 Wildcat will be here. We've got some T-6s. We've got C-45 coming in. And several different other aircraft. And I'd also like to encourage any pilots that have planes that would like to come out to please bring their plane. Yeah,
fly on in. And, of course, the museum will be open and people can see the
B-17. Yeah, we've got vendors, food. Everything.
All right, folks, we're going to go, but we're going to talk about this again next week and next weekend. Hopefully, you'll all head up to the Salem Airport. Terry Scott, thank you from the B-17 Alliance.
Jason.
Jason, sorry. Terry's his better half, folks.
Yeah,
thanks for being here. We'll talk next week.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.